Now, suppose you're retiring and you don't want to just kick back and sip tea on the porch. What you really want is a grand new adventure. Well, here's an idea. Sell your house. Travel the world, not just for a month, but for the rest of your life, or at least as long as your health holds out. That's what Lynn and Tim Martin are doing. And Strange Champs wanted to know how they do it.
Lynn and Tim, deciding to give up having a permanent home is kind of an unusual way to approach retirement. How did you dream up this idea?
You know, we were living a lovely life, you know, the California dream, and we just decided that we needed to see more of the world in bigger bites than a couple of weeks. The best way to do it and be unfettered with the burdens of a house would be to just get rid of it, which we did.
Which one of you brought this idea up first?
I did.
And when she told me, she was very hesitant about it. She said, I don't know how to tell you this. I know that you think that we're settled here, but I really need to see more of the world, and I want to do that. And I started laughing and told her that I had been thinking that for a year, but I was afraid to tell her.
So here, both of you had itchy feet.
We did. 4 months later, we were gone.
So if you wanted to see something of the world, I mean, you could have just taken an around-the-world trip for a year or something like that. But why did you want to actually sell your home and just become, you know, suitcase-toting nomads?
Because we wanted to have the opportunity of living in other places. Say, for instance, we go to Paris a lot because we love it. And when we're there, we have an apartment that is not in the tourist area, and we live like the local people do. If you do that for a couple of months in a country, you really get to know a lot more about the country and the people and the culture than you could by being in an apartment in a hotel, you know, and being a tourist.
Mm-hmm. Tim, so, what for you, what's the appeal of living someplace, and what's the difference between living someplace and traveling there?
For me, the thrill is the change, because each new place that I go to, it's like starting all over again. Each city that we live in, the supermarket runs different. The transportation is different. There's this huge learning curve that people of age, they miss because you get into habits and you become predictable.
A lot of people would find that exhausting. It sounds like you feel like it keeps you young.
It does keep us young. It also keeps us from getting bogged down in the everyday of everything. You know, it makes every day much more exciting.
And for me, men don't like to not know what the score is. And I especially like to know what I'm going to do and what I'm doing next. And what this traveling has done for me is it's made me lose my ego.
What do you mean?
I now have to say, I'm confused. I don't know what I'm doing. I need help. And it's a great learning experience. I come out a lot more confident at the end by not just having to know what I'm going to do next.
Huh. Let's talk a bit about how this actually works and what your lifestyle is like. So you had a permanent house in California, but you sold all that. You either gave away your possessions or put them in storage, gave them to your kids,
yes,
and took off. Where did you go?
Gee, we started in Buenos Aires. We went to Mexico first for a few months, and then we went to Buenos Aires, and then we just got back recently from 9 months in Europe, all over.
How long do you tend to stay in a place?
At least a month, minimum. You know, you were talking about being exhausted, and that's one of the keys to this. When you actually live somewhere for a month, you can see the city and appreciate it and experience it without wearing yourself out, because you don't have to go see all of the things you want to see in 5 days or four. We actually get time to relax and watch television and, you know, spend the day at home if we like writing and reading. And so we get to live a real life.
So what have been some of your favorite places that you've stayed? I mean, are there any that you've gone back to?
We can't resist Paris. It's just irresistible.
Each place is really unique. I was crazy about Turkey. I really liked going there.
We love Berlin.
We spent a month there and just had a marvelous time.
And so all this time, you're traveling about, like, from 1 month to another. Do you do all this just with a suitcase each?
Yes.
What about your possessions?
And then we burn the clothes when we get home.
Well, that's one of the benefits, Anne, of being of this lifestyle to us anyway. We have learned to get along with a lot less stuff. We wear the same things all the time. And we've found over time it doesn't really matter.
Don't you ever feel lonely, nostalgic for home? You know, a neighborhood full of people you've known for years?
Sure. Oh, sure. But that's why God gave us Skype and FaceTime.
Yes, we do miss them. And that's why we come home. We come home for a couple of months, see all of the grandchildren, see the children, go through the holidays, have all of that.
And rent a house
we rent a Home Away vacation rental when we come here. What's happened as a trade-off for that is that we now have a giant new set of friends.
Yeah, we do.
That we have met in every country. Some of them are expats, some of them are locals. We never would have met all those people, and we never would have had all those experiences had we stayed home.
So I have to ask, you know, this is a lot of travel and a lot of places to rent. How are you able to afford this?
Well, it's arithmetic. I had an overhead when I lived in one spot. I had the house and the gardener and the cars and property taxes and et cetera. And I took that number and I said, okay, now I'm going out in the world and I no longer have that overhead, but I have this much money each month. And so I went out and found affordable housing and affordable travel, and we have done very well with that. We stay within the same budget that we stayed in when we lived in one spot.
You know, it strikes me that what you're doing isn't that unusual for someone who's maybe just out of college or in their 20s. What's unusual is that you're doing it at your ages. Have you met many or even any other senior adventurers who are doing something similar?
We surely have. That's part of the big thrill to us. Yes. There are a whole bunch of old people out there, I've got to tell you. We've met a lot of people who are on the road a lot more than they are at home.
Really? So there's this secret underground movement of senior nomads. I had no idea.
Yeah, we're pioneering a new way of doing it.
We are. And there are a lot of other pioneers out there. Older people, here's the thing, I think, have learned that they do not have to live the predictable way. And we're all going to live a lot longer than we thought we would. And we're all healthier than people used to be at our ages. So a lot of people have said, I'm going to get out there and enjoy myself and see these things I've always wanted to see. Why wouldn't I?
Well, so what advice do you have for other people who might be listening and thinking, wow, maybe I'd like to try that?
Postpone nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, we're very healthy, but we understand our age, and I don't want to miss a single thing.
I think if you really have the will to go and to see the world, there's a way to do it. You just have to be determined.
Can I ask, how old are you both?
Oh, boy. I'm 73.
And I'm 68.
Well, more power to you. I wish you many more years of happy travels.
Thanks.
We hope so.
Tim and Lynn Martin call themselves senior nomads. They spoke with Anne Strangehams.